What can I get you?
I'd like a large coffee.
Okay, so hot coffee?
Hot coffee.
Okay, room for cream?
Totally leave room for cream.
Why are you talking like that?
Why are you talking like that?
Because this is my voice?
This is my voice.
No, it's not. I heard you talking a minute ago. I know you don't talk like that.
Neither do you, because nobody actually talks like this. You choose to talk like this, and today I chose to talk like this. It's pretty fucking annoying, isn't it?
Why are you so rude, man?
Just stop doing that.
I can't help it. It's my voice.
No, it's not. It's an affectation that annoying teenagers and rich people use to sound like they don't give a shit. Except you work in a coffee shop. So I know you're not rich, and you don't look like a teenager. Unless you're Eunice Kennedy Shriver, knock it off.
So just because I talk like this means they don't give a shit? And what exactly am I supposed to not give a shit about?
That's an excellent question to ask yourself in your actual voice.
Excuse me. Some of us would like to order.
Fuck everybody.
You're a total dick, man.
There. There you go. Good. You're talking.
Shit. Uh-huh. I totally screwed that transition up, but fuck it. What are you going to do? Hello and holy crap. Let me at least, holy shit, man. Ugh. Okay. I think, yeah, here we go. Okay. Are we set? We set, so I don't fuck this up even further. Let me just unplug this. Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 52, given on this day, 9 June 2024. I'm glad to be here to talk to y'all about shit, talk about my first world problems, things going on around the world today, and my skewed perspective of it all. Why? Well, because, as always, you make this show great, and that made no sense whatsoever. That last part, it really didn't. We got to look at that. Maybe we got to go back. Wait a minute. Something just. Okay, I have Mikey, my Roomba, my iRobot downstairs, going, and then all of a sudden there was like a dead stop. So I'm like, I don't know whether he got. I'm sorry for the dead space. I'm trying to listen to see if he got stuck or something, but evidently not. Okay. But yeah, we definitely have to change that. Definitely have to change that. I hope you liked the little intro in the beginning. I have been watching this show. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are. I hope everybody is doing well, staying safe and positive, but most importantly, staying caffeinated. And again, no review. You know the reason why. And I'll fix that when I fix that. but we are always staying caffeinated. We are drinking coffee, to be sure. And I think today we are drinking Pete's coffee. From Pete's Coffee Company. It's a dark roast coffee. It's got some bite to it. Nice swift kick in the ass, you know, make your balls tighten up. A few things down there tighten up, not just for the men, but for the women too. Give you a little bit of a pucker factor, and it makes you poop. So that's what's important. So anyway, going back to the intro, I don't know if I'm going to get away with that. I think it was longer than 30 seconds. And I don't know what iTunes or Apple's policy is on that. I mean, it is copyrighted work to say the least, but, yeah, I think it'll be okay. I mean, we're acknowledging one, it's Loudermilk. It's a TV show that, was streamed on other services, but most recently I found it on Netflix. There are 3 seasons, if I'm not mistaken, of this show. The main character is Sam Loudermilk, and he's played by Ron Livingston. If you're familiar with Ron Livingston, you've probably seen him in the movie Office Space, which still holds well, still holds up to this day. Some of the things in the movie might be a little outdated, but still a lot of what goes on in that movie is relatable to how we seem to work today. It doesn't matter. I think generationally, Office Space will resonate with every generation because even where I work, I feel as though that I've got a number of bosses because I get people who for some reason have nothing to do with me. And as we say in the military, you know, when you get people that come up and want to be total ass clowns and want to have something to say for the sake of just hearing themselves talk, I've always replied with, look, if you don't rape me, if you don't feed me, if you don't fuck me, you are not in my food chain. So shut the fuck up. But anyway, there have been moments where, excuse me, didn't mean to sniff in your ear. There have been moments where I've had people like send me emails going, hey, you need to make sure that you, I'm like, dude, who the fuck are you? If you have an issue, number one, I got it. Number two, my immediate supervisor is on this email. So it doesn't require you to chime in and do my supervisor's job for them. So kiss my ass, eat shit, and step on Legos. Okay. Anyway. But yeah, so he's been in Office Space, and he also played the role of Captain Nix, second to Major Winters in the HBO series Band of Brothers. So he's been around a few movies. He's got some familiarity out there. But most of all, Loudermilk. You heard the excerpt at the beginning of the show. This guy totally. He's my jam. I mean, he is just like this. What he plays, let's talk about that. So Sam Loudermilk, way back in the day, as you learn, he is or was a critic. He wrote a couple of books. He was a roadie, traveled with a lot of bands. He criticized a lot of music, elevated people, crushed people's lives in the process, so on and so forth. And he was married to this woman. I'm trying to remember her name. Can't really remember the name off the top of my head. But anyway, I think was it Memphis? I can't remember. Anyway, so they're on a drinking binge. He's always drunk. He's having a good old time. Him and his wife get into a car accident, really serious shit. She loses her leg. And it fucking just, he automatically changes. He sobers up, and then the gist of it that he no longer became fun, wife fell out of love with them, filed for divorce, and he winds up not writing anymore. He's not traveling with musicians. He hasn't written or done anything in so long. I think he's living off royalties for the most part, or at least that's what it seems to me. Oh, no, he's not living off royalties, partially living off royalties, but now he is like the group leader of a small church alcoholic anonymous group, which it's comprised of some really weird and twisted individuals, to say the least. And he works as a maintenance guy or a cleaning guy for a bank buffing floors. So there's just a lot to this whole, there's a lot to the story. There's a lot of little excerpts like this that really make you appreciate somebody who just has the to just speak up and say shit and not give a damn about what anybody else thinks. And if I can at some point, I'll throw in, not in this show, but in other shows, I'll cut down some of the little clips from the show, but I recommend going and watching it. It takes a little getting used to. Oh, by the way, if you're easily offended, you might not want to watch it at all. Just saying. Anyway, really, really good show. And that's the long and short of it, but in a way he reminds me, I love his character. Because he reminds me of some disgruntled Generation Xer trying to set the world straight, right? So it just absolutely blows my mind that they can still produce shows like this. That there are people out there that don't give a shit about anybody's feelings or pissing anybody off. Realistically, I don't know where we went wrong. I don't know why all of a sudden, you know, people, we got to have watchwords. We've got to be careful. We have to be mindful. And that's bullshit, in my opinion. I just don't know where that comes from. But evidently, there are people that are still out there getting after it, doing it. And excuse me, I got to adjust my chair here. I'm not close enough. This thing's comfortable. Hard to get into, though. I took the wheels off of this thing. Hold on. I took the wheels off of this thing because I didn't want wheel indentations in my carpet. I have an area rug in my studio, and it's really nice. I really like it, and I don't want it damaged all to hell. So I took the wheels off this chair and replaced it with, standard circular feet. The issue is I can't scoot in. I can't scoot out because the feet are very grippy. So I have to actually get off my ass, stand up, and move the chair, which that's not necessarily a bad thing. Just I have to take some extra steps to adjust myself. Anyway, so moving on. Yeah, I really love the show. Highly recommend it. Hoping for a season 4. There hasn't really been much talk about when and if they're going to do it. It would be disappointing if they didn't, because it would leave on a cliffhanger. So, and season 3 was pretty awesome. All the seasons are pretty awesome. It's pretty fast paced. The plots aren't drawn out like fucking, you know, something out of The Walking Dead where it takes them forever to get to a point. Nothing like that at all. It's pretty straightforward, and I think you'll enjoy it. And if you're a Gen Xer, you will definitely most enjoy it. Actually, anybody probably before the millennial generation, millennials will probably understand it. I'm not trying to pick on generations, but I think millennials would get it, but not be very quick to accept it. But Gen Xers, man, Gen Xers be like, fuck yeah, this is cool. Speaking of generations, I was at the dealership Friday morning. I had to get an oil filter tire rotation on my vehicle. And this is my second service on my vehicle. I went and got a new vehicle. I had to get a new, well, I didn't have to get a new vehicle. I think I was going through a little bit of a midlife crisis. And I think I hit cliche point in my life of, what do you do when you have a midlife crisis? You try to hold on to your youth. You try to wear clothes that really don't look right on you anymore or isn't the right style. And you go out and you buy another vehicle. You go out and buy a car. Now, I will tell you, I did not go and buy some little souped up Miata or a convertible. I didn't do that. I basically combined the best of both worlds in that if you take a Dodge Ram 2500 truck with a 6.4 liter Hemi engine, you take that engine out and you put it in a lifted Jeep, you got the best of both worlds. Now, granted, I don't have a truck bed, but I've got the power, the balls, the get up and go in a vehicle that's shaped like a brick, and nobody would be the wiser, and they think they could outdo me. Now, while they still might be able to, because I'm shaped like a brick, and I'm not shaped like a brick, my Jeep's shaped like a brick, but that my vehicle is shaped like a brick, that I just don't have that streamlined aerodynamic look or capability, that I would have a lot of wind and drag, I could still give them the run for money. Why? Because I have pedals. I mean, not pedals. I have paddles. I have paddles on my steering wheel. I could go into manual adjust and fricking drop it in low and fricking grunt. And oh, it sounds so sweet. It's got this rumble. The fricking performance exhaust is out there like flapping. It's noisy when you hit the gas. I mean, it makes a sound, especially if you go through tunnels, it just blows your eardrums out. But I can go into whisper mode too. I can turn the baffles off and I sound like a normal pissed off mosquito at that point. But anyway, best of both worlds, got it going on, went in and got my second service done. And I'm sitting at the dealership, trying to write down show notes for today's show, because I haven't had show notes for the past couple of episodes, if that wasn't obvious. But I wanted at least a little more context and something to read off of and have for this show. So I was doing my best not to be distracted while I was at the dealership, because I was going to be there for 2 hours waiting for my vehicle to be done, right? But I'm sitting at the dealership writing my show notes for the episode, and I was noticing, to even include myself for the most part, because I brought my iPad. I should have brought my laptop, but I didn't. I didn't bring my laptop, but I brought my iPad, because my iPad has a protective case on it, around it and everything, and it's just easier. And I could type on the screen. I don't have an external keyboard for it. Never bothered to get one, because I kind of taught myself to how to type on the screen, even though it seems weird. It really, to try and type on glass on the lower hemisphere of a rectangle, and to view what I'm typing on the upper hemisphere of a rectangle, just to kind of get things together, right? Sorry, I need to adjust my mic here. And also coffee. But I noticed, to include myself, coffee, damn it, that how much people are just glued to their devices in this day and age. And one girl, just ever since she sat down, she hadn't looked up her phone, looked away from her phone or up from her phone the entire time. I could see her reflection in the glass. Every once in a while, I look up, you know, I'm looking at her reflection, and she's just totally glued. She's got her headphones in, and she's like got the phone up to her face, and she's steadily just tapping away. I'm assuming she was in a conversation with somebody or whatever, but I kept wondering, for whatever reason, I kept wondering if there's going to be any side effects to overexposure to mobile devices, you know? And I mean, these screens are small. I imagine any sort of radiation or light at some point, even though very, very small, very micro, if you will. My nose is all jammed up. Hold up. I mean, other than hurting the fuck out of your eyes, because even though I have like an iPhone, I got a 15 Pro Max, right? I always go, there's a Pro and the Pro Max. I always go for the Max because I like the better camera. I like the camera quality and everything. And is there really that much difference? I don't know. I've never done the comparison, but is there anything wrong with me getting the regular Pro? Absolutely not. But I always do the upsize. Why do I do the upsize? Because I want the larger screen. I want the larger icons, even though it's by just a fraction versus the regular iPhone, that, and a very small fraction at that, but that small fraction helps my vision. And so I always gravitate to the larger phones, you know, even though it's about this half, almost three quarters of the size of an iPad mini, you know, the running joke that eventually we're just going to be putting these big iPads to our face and communicating that way. But yeah, I've always gravitated to the larger ones, and I've always gravitated to larger storage space, even though, you know, I couldn't fill 256 gigs, just having the extra storage capacity of say 512, you know, versus a terabyte. I mean, it's getting a little ridiculous, but I stay in the mid range for the most part, because I do download a lot of stuff. I do things here and there, and it's just good to have that capability. And then if I'm recording stuff, I've got space. So why don't I go for the 1 terabyte? Because I'm already at the point where I'm looking at how much I'm spending for 512, that if I was going to spend close to $1,500 or more on the largest storage capacity for an iPhone, regardless of the size, I'm probably going to go spend that money on clothes, or I'm going to put that money towards a bill. You know, I had to buy a lawnmower recently. I'd pay off my lawnmower. It's those things that I start thinking about now as an adult, versus me 30 years ago, who probably go, yeah, I'll just get both and spend the money that I don't have, right? And run myself into the fucking ground. But anyhow, other than it hurting your eyes and I don't know, maybe exposures to device screens will make your skin more greasy or oily, or, you know, maybe it'll improve your complexion, but give you resting bitch face. This is what I noticed, because it seems like people who rely mostly on communicating via text or email, like they're always glued to their devices. It seems to me that those individuals, the ones I've come in contact with, they're expressionless. It's like, unless they have the ability to freaking throw an emoji at you, they don't have, some of them just don't have expressions. All their expressions are on screen. It's like they do not know how to morph or use the muscles in their face to give you expression. Like, where the fuck did that come from all of a sudden? And I'm not saying everybody, but there are a few people, younger people in my office that are like that. And I'm sitting here going, do you not know how to express yourself physically? They could express themselves six ways from Sunday on a mobile device all day long. You know, that is like their prime focus, but there's a few that just, they don't know how to translate that to human contact. It's weird. I don't know. But it always seems that they are. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if they really hear what a person's saying. You know, it's like, it's like a foreign language. If I don't text them, they're not going to understand what I'm telling them. Right. So if I tell them face to face in person, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But if I tell them in a text message, bam, they understand it all. They got it. Or if I send them an email, they got it. And I'm like, wow. And that is the literal dynamic in my workplace for some of the people that I work with. It's crazy. And I was just noticing this and thinking about this week, and while I'm sitting at the dealership and just out of the corner of my eye watching people on their devices. Some people are sitting at the dealership with their work computer working remotely, you know, while they're waiting for their vehicle. And I'm like, I want to do that. Hold on. Sorry about that. Allergies, man. This season has just been kicking my butt. And I want to be able to, not to go off on a tangent, but I can't do that. I have a hard time. And dare I say, because of my work ethic, which I question my work ethic a lot of the times too. And I believe that's primarily because I've pushed myself so much when I was in the military that my work ethic, while still absolute and strong, I don't put myself in a position where I'm off balance, you know, and I'm not one that is going to log into my computer. Like I have a required day off on Fridays. I am not at the end of Friday or Saturday or any time today, Sunday, excuse me, am I going to log in my computer to check my email? The reason why I will no longer do that is because there will be something in that email that will piss me off. And it's not meant to piss me off. It's just something that gets sent to me. And for some reason, it becomes a thorn in my side and I get all grumpy and I cuss out loud. And it takes me a while to reel myself in and understand that, you know, why, and try to tell myself, you know, why the fuck are you worried about? Why are you getting bent out of shape? What about this email is so bad that it really pisses you off? You can't control it. It's there. You read it. But why are you getting pissed off? I have to reel myself in all the damn time because there will be guaranteed one email in there that I'll just be like, fuck, you know, and then I'll kind of be in a bad mood for a little bit and then I'll calm down and then I'll realize there was nothing, you know, it was nothing worth getting bent out of shape over. But yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Excuse me, coffee. Oh, sorry again. Goodness. Shit. But yeah, and even then, speaking of coworkers, I have a lot of good people that I work with. I have some great people that I work with. And then I have some people that I raise an eyebrow on. And I don't necessarily, I do my best not to feel as though I'm talking down to somebody, especially if they're older than me. I do my best to try to see what they're doing from their vantage point. But with certain people of a certain stature, certain status, I expect more. I expect better. And I have a coworker who is a contractor. He's not DOD. He's a contractor. But to me, contractor, DOD, doesn't matter. I work with this person. And there was a memorandum that has to be signed by me sent to a person for them to fill out in order to execute other functions. I'm not going to say what all this is, but it's a standardized format. Yet, I've seen this standardized format and I've corrected the format because when you look at DOD regulation, when you look at Army policy, and you look at how this memorandum is formatted, it's wrong 6 ways from Sunday. Yet nobody does anything to adjust it. And I was mortified because this gentleman sent an email with this attachment to this person to fill out, and it was jacked up. I mean, it looked like somebody let their kid, you know, like somebody typed up a perfect document. You've seen the commercials, right? Somebody, that person types up a perfect document, gets their slides together, and leaves their computer, and their toddler comes up and starts pounding on the keys and hitting buttons and deleting and moving and adjusting shit. That's about how this memorandum looked to me. Well, actually, it was. That's exactly how the memorandum looked. Like some little kid, freaking mom and dad weren't around, let me hit the keyboard and totally flog things up, right? But he sends this to them. And so I come up to him and I'm like, hey, open up that email you sent to so-and-so with that memorandum that has to be filled out by her. Well, excuse me, as I don't have to sign it. This person has to sign it. But regardless of whether I had to sign it or not, it's representing the office that you work in. And he sends this fucked up memorandum to this person to fill out and sign. And I'm like, why would you do that? And I said, we have to be better than this. That does not look professional at all. What does it say about you sending it to her? What does it say about this office? And if it required my signature before this person's, what does it say about me? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, you need to recall that, or we need to fix this and resend and say, hey, apologize. We clicked the wrong document. Here's what you need to fill out, right? And do that. And he turned around and said, well, I want to get, let me tell you the history behind this because so-and-so. And I'm like, dude, no, the history doesn't mean anything to me. The fact that you're telling me the history, all I hear is an excuse. If you know it's wrong and it doesn't look right to you, wouldn't you have just approached me since this person you're talking about or referencing is in the past and no longer works here? Wouldn't you come to me, or didn't you think to come to me and say, hey, I don't necessarily like the way it looks. Can we fix this? And then let's do it. Let's make a really good format that looks professional. The grammar and punctuation are correct. We're following DOD and Army regulation in how this memorandum needs to be formatted, all the spacing, all that jazz, and be indicative of the professionalism of indicative. Is that the right word? I mean, you project professionalism in the documents that you send out. Don't send anybody fucked up shit. I mean, this is the part that I don't understand. And I always chalk it up, and I always say this, you know, you just can't get good help these days. And that's what bothers me is that if you knew, you identified, you asked about it from a previous person who no longer works here, that, and they were fine with it. Well, that's them. Don't always assume that because that's the way it's done from other people that I'm going to be the same way. And evidently that's not, because I'm here in the now telling you it isn't. And I'm sitting here going, dude, you got a PhD? And it didn't bother you that it was this document. And I know I shouldn't get bent out of shape out of a document, but if you're willing to let something like this go, if it's not to a standard, if this is your standard, then I've really got to watch what you're doing with everything else, because you don't have a high standard. or you're just going with the flow and not trying to improve anything. That is annoying as fuck. To me, it is. Yeah, sorry I'm going off on a tangent on there, but that's kind of what it, all this just talking about conversations and people and people really understanding, you know, to listen. I said, dude, you're not listening to understand. He's like, yes, I am. Yes. I said, no, you're not, because you're coming back and trying to justify yourself. I said, you don't need to justify yourself. What needs to happen is understand that you sent this document, right? And yes, I understand that because of past experience with other people that they didn't care doesn't mean that you should assume I should care. So I should also take responsibility. But I don't need to hear a history, because that's in the past. It's done. That person's gone, right? And all I hear is an excuse instead of, hey, we could fix this and make it better. So if you see stuff like this that looks wrong and is incorrect, fix it, right? Do those things, and let's set up a standard and make sure everybody uses it, right? It's not that hard. But holy cow, man, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. And I've come to the realization, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. I have been thinking about it a great deal, and I've been talking to some other people who are considering the same thing, is that I may wind up finding employment elsewhere. I hate to do it. It's a good group of people, but the things that go on in an organization, don't get me wrong, it's not bad. It's not really bad. It's not like, you know, put it in perspective, it's not on the level that it's toxic, right? There are some abrasive people, to be sure. There's some abrasive personalities, but nothing to really be concerned about or raise a red flag on, right? They are just who they are. And realistically, I've dealt with so many personalities. I'm sure you have all dealt with so many personalities that people like that, I mean, unless they're really, really, really freaking toxic and vile. Excuse me a second. Oh man, now my nose is running. I'm waiting for the next big sneeze. But they're just, it's just not that bad. However, when I get up in the morning, I don't mind going into work to an extent, but I still don't feel that, to quote you two, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That's the bottom line. I still haven't found what I'm looking for in a career, in a job as a civilian. Do I want to stay DOD? Yeah, for sure. Would I go back to being a contractor if I had no choice? Yeah. I mean, contractors get paid a little bit more, but when you look at what a contractor gets paid and add it up and look at what a contractor gets paid total, and then deduct things that you have to pay for, like, you know, dental insurance, health insurance, whatever the case is, you get the same paycheck as a DOD person does, because the DOD gets the same paycheck as a contractor, yet they take the money out ahead of time out of your paycheck to pay for, those, I don't want to say ancillary things. I keep using the word ancillary, to pay for those things like dental care, any extra health care that you might want or need. And when you look at everything, balances out, it's really the same. So six in one, half dozen of the other. But I think I'm looking for something more. I'm looking for something comfortable. And when I say comfortable, I don't mean a job that, oh, I'm just going to sit here, park my ass and not do anything, which that wouldn't necessarily be a bad job to have if I was getting paid to do that, right? But at the same point, I just want comfort. I just want something that isn't going to put me in a position where I've got to deal with personalities in that capacity, right? And maybe that's everywhere you go. You can't escape it. The only way you could escape it is to fucking win the lotto and just be done with people in general. Go move to an austere environment away from everybody, where your nearest neighbor is 5 miles down the road. And that would be my ideal happiness. It really, really would. Somebody asked me the other day, if I won Mega Millions, what would I do with the money? There would be a couple of things that I would do. One, I'd pay off my house. I'd pay off my vehicle. And I really don't have any debt. So, I mean, other than one small account, pay those off. And then I would pay my brother's debts off, right? Because I think he refinanced the house, my parents' house that they left to him. And so I'm sure he's kind of stuck with that. I'd pay that total, be like, dude, hey, here you go. And probably give him, you know, depending on how much I got and depending on how much they give me, say, per month, per year, however that works. I don't know how winning the lotto works. But if they gave me a good enough amount, I'd give it to him so that he wouldn't have to work, you know, and he could go live where he wants and do the things that he wants to do. And I think that would be my big thing. That would be my big thing. The other thing I'd probably do is probably start up some scholarship. I'd definitely try, you know, looking around and start some sort of scholarship fund for somebody, or be a donator, to be a silent donor to, you know, a scholarship, increasing the amount, right? Because some scholarships out there, I mean, they don't pay for shit. You know, it's like, hey, I got a $25,000 scholarship. Yeah, that's going to last you a semester, where depending on where you go, right? So and do something like that. And then I would probably open up a distillery. I'd probably work to open up a distillery, or I'd go work in the distillery for cheap because I wouldn't need the money, and learn, and then eventually branch out and do my own shit, right? Or just buy one right out. I don't know. But something to that effect. Yeah, I've kind of given it some thought, but you know what though? It's like, what are the odds, you know, of winning that much? Bottom line, I mean, I'm not greedy. If I want enough to pay off my house and my vehicle, I would be giddy. I would be absolutely perfect with that. And I'd quit my job and, I don't know, sell shit on eBay. I don't know. It's hard. There's a number of things I know I'd like to do. Or maybe I'd move to bigger space and adopt animals. Because around here, there's a lot of pit bulls that need adoption. And I wish I had the space to do it. I would love to do it, give them a home. It'd be great because I love Pibble Wiggles. Anyway, so yeah, I was paying attention to these people glued to their devices, but there was something else I was paying attention to that kind of was secondary. Well, not kind of, but it was secondary. It hit me out of the blue. Totally hit me out of the blue. How do I put this? I am a self-proclaimed metrosexual. I am not how do I explain this? And I'm not even sure who coined the phrase or the term metrosexual. Excuse me, coffee, damn it. I'm not sure who coined the term metrosexual, but I am a self-proclaimed metrosexual, you know, and the reason, I think as I've gotten older, I've paid attention to things about myself and my odoriferous emanations, and other things that happen that I used to make fun of as a kid, right? And I'm sitting here going, if I ever come back in another life, I would hope that I would retain somewhere in my brain or my memory not to make fun of people who get old and certain things are happening to their body, or they smell a certain way because I did it and now I am paying penance or I feel as though I'm paying penance. I am OCD about how I smell. I kid you not. I take more than one shower a day. I make sure I wash every crevice to the nth, because to me, if you don't spend a good amount of time, you know, cleaning the taint, washing the balls, stroking the shaft, and I don't mean stroking the shaft for pleasure, I'm talking making sure everything down there from your shaft to your nutsack to your taint to your butthole is clean, you know, making sure your armpits are fully scrubbed and cleaning behind and in your ears. All that stuff, I mean, I am just, I don't get embarrassed. I wouldn't get embarrassed by the smell. I would deal with it. But at the same time, it's like, I don't like putting myself in a position where I'm going to smell, you know, or I'm going to offend somebody. Because It's weird how I'm blown by, how do I put this? I'm blown away by people who come in, and this is what happened. This gentleman came in and sat down at a table near the bar area where I was sitting. They have like a bar table there to plug in your computers and your peripherals while you're waiting in the lobby for your vehicle. And this guy came in, and dude, he smelled like squeaky clean, like out fresh out of the shower. Like he walked out of the shower into his clothes and into the dealership in one fell swoop. And he smelled so clean and so fresh. And I'm sitting here going, why can't I smell like that? I do everything I can to smell like that without dousing myself in, I don't bathe in cologne. I don't put all these oils all over me and have a conflict of interest in smells just for the sake of smelling good. I don't do that. Now, I did have somebody at work tell me, how is it that you can smell so fresh the entire day? And I would jokingly say, oh, I took my monthly bath, you know, but I'm sitting here going, I don't smell whatever it is you're smelling. That's what blows my mind. I don't smell what you're smelling. So in my mind, oh, wow, you know, it's been a couple of hours. I no longer smell as fresh as I did coming out of the shower, where this dude freaking smells like he just came out of the shower. And I'm sure, you know, from the time that he got up, ate breakfast, took a shower, got dressed, and got to the dealer, at least an hour or so passed by. But this dude smelled like, you know, April freshness. It was weird. It was pleasant. And I almost wanted to ask him, dude, what are you wearing? But then how does that conversation take place? How does that conversation go? I mean, in this day and age, it might not even be a bad thing to ask, you know, guy, dude, man, it's like, how do you fucking smell so fucking clean? Right. You know, and it's like, it could be taken two ways. Dude, what are you trying to say? You know, or dude, no, dude, this is all exit, no entry type thing. I don't know, but, it makes me jealous. It makes me jealous because their odorous emanations are better than mine, you know, and how do they smell so good for hours at a time? Because I don't feel as though I smell that way, you know, and don't get me wrong, because there are those who bathe in the most god awful. I live in Boca Raton, Florida. My scent is called Pink Flamingo, and it's the perfume or whatever they bathe in is so strong the military could fucking weaponize it. It's that bad. I have family down in Florida, and when you sit in a car with them, you have to roll down the windows, because I swear they bathe in it, they wash their hair in it, they freaking wash their clothes, their underwear, their socks. Hell, they probably polish their shoes with the shit. It is so foul. It's disgusting. It's an assault on the senses. I can't even begin to describe any further how fucking duh, how bad it is. I mean, it sets my allergies are bad enough as it is. Smelling god-awful perfume like that, you know, and they wear this perfume that probably it's probably not real. And if it is put out by, you know, some well-known perfume cologne maker that you see on commercials or whatever, it smells like a fucking knockoff of the real thing, but worse. So I'm just like, but getting back to it, yeah, I want to smell fresh. I would love to be that person. But I think narrowing it down that this gentleman that came in, I'm pretty sure it was oils, right? Like an oil or a lotion that you rub into the skin and it stays longer. But whatever it was, yeah, dude smelled clean as a whistle. Did not Irish Spring smell, but I mean, clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle. Completely envious. I hope to one day achieve the path of enlightenment that is, you know, and maybe it's Mando. I don't know. Maybe I've never tried Mando yet. I'm still hemming and hawing about ordering it, but trying Mando, you know, and hitting those places with that stuff and see if I fare any better. Who knows? Maybe that'll be something I could do. I can order that, use it, and then give you all a review on it. Can't give you a review on Lumi, but to me, Mando, Lumi, one in the same, but different scents, one for women, one for men. What do non-binary use? I don't mean to sound rude, but then I'm trying to figure out. That's a different topic. Let's talk about something else. Probably something that's going to rub people the wrong way. Hold on. Coffee, damn it. Oh, this coffee's good. Swift kick in the butt. We drink coffee so dark, we give Satan's butthole a run for its money. anyhow, so moving on. I heard on the radio that former President Donald Trump has been found guilty on 15 counts of whatever the fuck he was guilty of. And that might not be recent news. He might be indicted on other counts. I don't know. I was kind of sort of listening to this news reporter talk about the guilty counts and what they were. They all sounded similar, but worded differently, if that makes sense. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with this. People are talking that he might not serve any jail time because this is his first offense. And that if any punishment is given, it might be house arrest. I don't know. Don't know that it would be community service with a whole shitload of stipulations, or it would be house arrest with a whole shitload of stipulations, like can't be on social media for 2 years, whatever the case may be. To me, that would be hard to do. And the reason why I say this is because it got me to thinking, how is someone who's convicted on multiple counts allowed to continue to run for president? I don't understand this piece. I haven't researched. I haven't asked the question. I do have a source that I could go to and probably ask and get a good answer, or at least somewhat of an intelligent answer as to, you know, the reason why he's being allowed to continue to run. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, because here's the deal. Because how would he allow, because how do I put this? Why would anyone afford him the opportunity or be allowed to afford him the opportunity to run for president when so many others before him, and you've seen it, you know, in other campaigns in previous election years, you get somebody who's running, they seem to be doing well, but then all of a sudden something gets brought to light, a skeleton gets let out of the closet, and it's not anywhere near as bad as what he's been indicted for, maybe close to in some cases, but the end state is they wind up pulling themselves out of the race. You know, they resign. They're like, oh, I'm done. You know, oh, somebody found out I stick my finger in my butt. Oh, I'm not going to run. You know, somebody found out I paid for a hooker with a check. I'm not Jerry Springer. He paid for a hooker with a check. For those of you who don't know, look it up. He actually paid for sex using a check. But those things come up during a candidate's campaign, and they automatically they pump the brakes and they're gone. They're done. This jackass has got 15 indictments, all of which he's guilty, and he's still being allowed to run for president, which to me is an indicator that there is the high probability that he will not serve any jail time, that he will be allowed to continue. Now, whether or not he gets elected for president, I don't know. I have not been paying attention to the polls. I have seen through the corner of my eye, per se, news reports where former President Trump is ahead of Joe Biden in some states. I have seen that out of the corner of my eye, and because I haven't read all the information. And most of the times I hate reading news reports from media anyway, but I'm really trying to figure out, you know, and if he's ahead of Joe Biden in some states, how is that even possible with everything he's got going on? Evidently, the cancel culture isn't that big, you know, it isn't that big, doesn't go that deep that it could force a president not to run for another term. There are people out there that are still supporting them. And I see it. I mean, I've got friends on Facebook that fully support President Trump, that are totally against Joe Biden. And I sit back and I let them say their piece because that's their belief. I'm not unfriending them because they want Trump back in office. But I'm sitting here going, with all the angst that the American people suffered in 2020, with everything that happened with George Floyd and everything else that followed, granted, COVID didn't make things better, but all this shit that happened in 2020, and then January 6th, 2021, you had all these people that came out of the woodwork, storm the Capitol, somebody died. Was it the Capitol? Whatever. You had all these people. Some dude dressed as a mix of a Viking and something from that movie Mel Gibson was in, right? And with all the face paint and everything, and people destroying offices and taking laptops and beating up on police and killing somebody. That's who represents him. Why would you want somebody like that in office and represented by those type of people? You know, I think in the back of Donald Trump's mind is that because he was high class back in the day, long before he became president, and he partied with all these people and all these people liked him and he spent money and did allegedly tax evaded and all that other stuff that maybe people with billions of dollars do. I don't know. I wouldn't want to, you know, stereotype rich people, but that seems to be the common theme, the common thread. And everybody liked him, didn't have any issue. But the moment he became president, the moment he started doing all these things, these people did a 180. And the people that were following him were, excuse my expression, and I mean this somewhat derogatory, backward-ass country fucks, right? And I don't mean that in general to term everybody as backward-ass country fucks, because I love some country people out there who are intelligent enough to come to their senses and go, dude, you know, I don't want Donald Trump back in office. Biden isn't any better in some respects because of what we see going on out there with frickin' escalating gas prices and all this other stuff. But, you know, why is it that why would we want another MAGA 2.0? Why would we want a MAGA 2.0? Why would we want that? If there was angst to begin with, there is sure as shit going to be more to follow if he's elected as president. And I don't want to make any predictions. I mean, I'm not Nostradamus or Nostradamus. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a sightseer. I don't have visions of the future. But I almost think that if he gets elected and goes for a second term, and for all intents and purposes, MAGA 2.0 is enacted, that it's going to put this country in a civil war. I hate to think that. I would hate to even feel that way. But you look around and see what's going on, and media doesn't help. Social media doesn't help. The masses that are clumped together that believe a lot of the shit that they read on Facebook and they read on social media and everything, it's got to be true that the deck is not really stacked in our favor of those who don't want him in office. You know, and if I had to vote between the lesser of two evils, I'd rather keep Joe Biden in office than have to go through that crap again. Because some of you probably saw it, and other people probably saw it, depending on where you live in your location. You were probably knee deep in all the crap that was going on with people walking the streets wanting reparations for slavery that happened way back when and had nothing to do with them in the present generation, but they want to freaking break into your house and fucking take it and demand that, oh, you're a white person, you got a beautiful house, you need to give it to me. Where does that mindset come from? What fosters that? I'm sorry, former President Trump, but the people that you thought that were following you, that were high class and intelligent and wealthy, those aren't the people that support you. I don't know. It got me thinking about, and I can't take credit for this, somebody sent this to me, but it got me thinking about this little excerpt that somebody sent to me in a text message, and it was from the philosopher Aldous Huxley, who said, "Unlike the masses, intellectuals have a taste for rationality and the interest of facts. Their critical habit of mind makes them resistant to the kind of propaganda that works so well on the majority." I think it applies in this case. I don't know. The whole thing just fucking freaks me out. I don't know. I don't know where we're going. And this year's halfway over. We're almost there. And it's got me concerned. It really does. Colonel Winters from Band of Brothers, when he made his comment about finding his own place, you know, his own little piece of the earth or little part of the earth and just be in peace and be away from everything. Well, I don't know if he meant be away from everything or be away from people. You know, I'm still thinking he was, you know, going to be a socialite, right? But I just want my little corner of the world and be at peace. I don't want to have to deal with this bullshit. I mean, I'm at the point where I even hate going out. I hate driving into work. You know, I don't mind the people that I work with. Sometimes, you know, it could rub me the wrong way and I could become a little reactionary to stuff. But for the most part, I don't base people I work, I don't base my world on work. I base my world on what I see around me and the type of people I see around me and some of the shit that I hear has me shaking my damn head. It really, really does. And I don't know. I hope I've got my fingers crossed that maybe this magical candidate will come out of the woodwork and be the right fit and be that balance. Of course, you know, if wishes were horses, I don't know. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I don't know who. I know I'm not going to vote for Trump. You know, some people might hate me for saying that. Oh, you? No. You got to understand something here. This is the way I kind of look at it, and it might not be the right philosophy. It may not necessarily be the wrong philosophy either. But check this out. When I was in the Army, it was customary for the most part. Me and a lot of my brethren, we would always go with the side of the Republican. And for good reason, because Republicans support the military. We always get a better budget. We always usually get bigger pay raises, right? We don't get that from the Democratic Party. We don't get that from a Democratic president. I do recall, I think Barack Obama was Democrat, right? I think he was. He did give us a good pay raise 1 year. Right. There have been other presidents who were Democrats that did give us good pay raises, but I think they probably did that during an election year. Hey, let's give them a 5% pay raise, right? Where the previous years were like 1.5%. Let's do a 5% pay raise in this last year so that I could go ahead and maybe win hearts and minds and get reelected for a second term. And then we'll go back to a 1% pay raise each year. You know, it's those things. It's the benefits, it's the focus on the military. And yeah, I would say while you're in the military, when you don't know much about Republicans and Democratic parties, because I didn't pay attention much to them, you know, growing up, I didn't really pay attention in government class and really fucking care overall. But being a soldier, you know, I always erred on the right of the Republican. But then when you think about you're no longer a soldier and you're out there as a civilian now, then you start looking at the Democratic Party and what they could possibly do for you. Not all of them do great. Hell, not all Republicans do great, just like Democrats. It depends. And we have yet to find balance. So I don't know. All I can do is shrug my shoulders, keep my fingers crossed, and probably do some research and be better informed. Because I think I spoke about this before, maybe on episode 50, that Howard Stern had interviewed President Joe Biden. And the person that I heard in that interview that was being asked questions by Howard Stern, and yes, people are like, oh, Howard Stern, the jock shock. He's such an ass. He's so full of himself. He's this, he's that. Why would anybody? Look, Howard Stern is not as bad as people make him out to be. Bottom line up front, cut and dry, plain and simple. If you ever get the opportunity, if you don't have SiriusXM, it might be posted out there on YouTube or whatever. But there was an interview with him and Bruce Springsteen. One of the best interviews I've ever heard in a long time when it comes to a celebrity status like Bruce Springsteen. Very well articulated, good conversation. And this is Howard Stern. And in turn, that same conversation took place with President Joe Biden. And I learned a lot about President Biden that I didn't know that was brought up by Howard Stern in his interview with him. And the person that I heard, the Joe Biden that I heard on that interview, is not the same person that is portrayed on social media, that is portrayed by the news, you know. And oh, by the way, probably part of the reason why he stutters or fumbles over his words, you know, in certain cases when he's addressing the public, he used to be a stutterer. And he was open about it. And he would talk about what he would do to try to keep from stuttering during a presidential address, in that he would have to memorize his lines. But he's also fucking human. Yes, he's older, got it, but so is President Reagan. And yeah, he's fumbles up. Hell, I'm younger than he is, and I fumble over my fucking words all the time. So how is that any different? But I don't know. You know, each to their own. You be the judge. And let's just go from there. We'll see what happens. Anyway, looking around. Wow, a lot of time has passed by. So guess what? We have an email. First, before I do that, I'm going to wet my whistle. Wet my whistle with coffee, damn it. My allergies have gotten better, by the way. So, yeah. But anyway, so here we go. Our favorite librarian, who is now retired. I don't know if I addressed it on any previous episode, but once again, Leslie, congratulations on your retirement. Long time coming. I'm sure people are going to miss you. I know if I was a student at UIW, I'd definitely be missing you. Definitely. But then I'd make an effort to come visit you after the fact because, yeah, no, I need you in my life, young lady. I'll just say that. Hand on heart. Congratulations. And I'm glad that you write in because you make my day. Why? Because you make this show great. Anyhow, she says, it was so nice hearing your voice again. You do not have a monotone. I feel like I do sometimes. I go back. And here, let me talk about this. When I listen, you heard me talk about Howard Stern. I listen to Howard Stern. I listen to other podcasters. And the reason why I listen to these people is because I really listen to get an idea of who they are. And I'm listening to them to get a sense of self and who I want to be when I do podcasts, right? Because I want to get better. I want to be able to communicate. And I know one of the things I really need to do or get back to doing is reading more. I used to read a lot and then I quit. And I could even give you the time frame. After 9/11, I didn't read as much and then stopped reading altogether. I went into audiobooks, and audiobooks are fine, but to me, audiobooks don't play on my a play on the sense of my imagination as, you know, as well as reading a book does. And regardless of what the nature of the book is, the genre, if you will, I find that when I read something, it's a lot better. And I take my time. I could really be immersed in what I'm reading versus listening to somebody read a story to me or tell a story. I mean, it's kind of like some of the things I listen to. It's kind of like listening to NPR where, hey, we've got this production of this and it's being read by, and it's not necessarily being read by one person all the time. There are other people who come in and do voices. Sometimes it is read by one person who has the ability to do others, but it doesn't get me mental-wise, it doesn't get me as immersed as reading it on my own. So I know I need to do that, but I try to do my best where I feel I do inflection. But what I'm getting at is a lot of other podcasters and radio hosts always talk about they never go back and listen to themselves. They can't stand it. And excuse me, I know where they're coming from because I can't stand listening to myself. And in some cases, when I listen to myself, what I feel I hear is monotone at times. And I can't stand the sound of my own voice. I could only take myself in small doses when going back and listening to a podcast to get a sense of how well I think I've done. And what do I need to improve? Those type of things. And it still kicks me in the ass each and every time. Still kicks me in the ass each and every time. Anyway, she goes on to say, we went back to campus after the worst of the pandemic. We went back to the campus after the worst of the pandemic. I told my boss that I was done with the 11 to 12 hour workdays. Thankfully, she didn't have an issue with it and told me to pass along work to two people who didn't have enough to do. They're even busier now, and my last day was December 4th, 2023, and they have yet to hire a replacement. Two other librarians accepted a recent retirement offer. Work-life balance is so important, especially once you've had a health emergency and you realize how little time we have here. That is a true statement. And I think I said it on the last episode and probably even on the episode before then that it seems weird. And not so much, how do I put this? Not so much having the open heart surgery a couple of years ago, that added to it. That's part of my whole mindset now because that bomb was dropped on me and I could have not survived the surgery, and that would have been it. But I did get through the surgery. I'm fine. I'm doing better. But I can't help but wonder, when something like that happens, when you stress a body out like that for 6 hours on the operating table with your chest cavity opened, you know, what did you just expose yourself to? And what does that mean for the future? You know, what's going to go on? And you start paying attention to little things like, you know, wow, all of a sudden I feel like there's been somebody flipped a switch and now the clock is running. The hourglass has been turned over and how much time do I have? It is a weird feeling to describe, but it seems to that, damn, you know, I've got a birthday coming up soon and I'm going to be in senior status fairly quickly. Like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? But yeah, I completely agree. She goes on to say, you got to experience a field vision test. I have had one yearly since the early aughts due to glaucoma. I no longer have to do the head in the box, eye patch covering one eye test. They have a headset now. It looks like a virtual reality headset. Much less aggravating than the old method. I am so glad they got to the bottom of your vision issue. The way you described it, it sounded like macular degeneration. Yeah, I was like, I didn't. And the funny thing about it, it was going to the eye test. I wish it was virtual reality. That would have been so much more fun, so much better. But it was a military hospital. And I guess if the current hardware is still working, that they're not going to do anything to replace it. Because I will tell you this from personal knowledge, that the military treatment facilities or the government facilities out there right now aren't getting adequate funding, in my opinion, right? We've been going through these continuing resolutions where they're basically making money to give money, is the way I look at it. And the health defense healthcare system isn't really getting a good allocation to, one, keep people like cardiothoracic surgeons and those top level people, you know, to come over to work and make the same money that they would make on the outside. And the equipment that they have is, you know, dated equipment. You know, they're not getting the most current and qualified and state of the art shit that one of the local hospitals, you know, civilian hospitals are getting, right? They're getting the state of the art. They're getting the people who, you know, are getting paid $400 to $600 an hour to do surgery and shit like that, because they've got the they've got the money, they've got the funding to do it, right? And they're keeping up with all the changes and all that other stuff. I think the military treatment facilities are behind in most cases because they can't hire, you know, the people. They can't hire the people that they need, that they want, because they're not getting paid, you know, what they're getting paid on the outside. And they're contracted. You know, they're contracted through these companies, and these companies are having a hard time trying to fill positions because nobody wants to work for the government for less. It's tough and it sucks. But yeah, I would have much rather done a virtual reality. But yeah, like I said, the first test I didn't do so well. I didn't know what to expect. I never took it before, you know. So it was like, okay, now I got the rhythm. Now I got it going. Now I see what's happening. And the second time, easy peasy. But macular degeneration, I'm going to have to look that up. But yeah, it was odd that it was only happening in the left eye. I don't understand the purpose of just the left eye. And, you know, I'm thankful it was just one eye, because if I had to lose an eye or lose vision, one eye better than both. But no, I'm pretty sure that my cardiologist, who has now moved to New York, by the way, I have a follow up with a new cardiologist next week, not this week, but the following week. So I'm going to see what he's about and see what he recommends, and go from there. But otherwise I'm doing okay. She further says, I can highly recommend retirement, even though it was forced on me by the broken leg and subsequent surgery. The 4 months I had to work nearly killed me, and my doctor wouldn't let me work more than 4 to 5 hours a day. Retirement eligibility was December 4th, and I jumped on it. I was able to concentrate on PT and without the exhaustion of work. Progress. So much progress, I stopped using the cane in early March. Yes, absolutely awesome. And see, this is what I appreciate. And granted, it sucks that not everybody could be in the same boat. What she said, getting off the cane, doing the physical therapy, I call her a young lady at work. She is a godsend. She's a sounding board. She keeps me sane. She keeps me in check at work. And we bounce things off each other all the time. We talk to each other all the time. And she does a lot. She reminds me of Leslie. She really, really does. And she's done everything with the issues she's had and getting through physical therapy. And she's just a firecracker. She wants to do physical therapy. She wants to get better. She wants to be independent. She wants to go and move on and do things on her own. And I appreciate that. You know, and it is unfortunate that some people out there, you know, they get injured or they get an ailment that they can't get through, and they're bedridden or they're in a wheelchair. And realistically, no amount of physical therapy is going to help them. But my mom, she chose to stay in bed. I feel she could have done more to get out there and get herself better and get strong. I think she could have done it. But I think my mom threw in the towel and gave up. And you know, then again, it could have been that she couldn't do it, that she really, really couldn't do it. I don't know. I'm not her, right? And I don't want to make the assumption that she was just being lazy and wanted to be of, you know, people to serve her and be at her beck and call under hand and foot each and every freaking day for everything that she wanted. Because to me, I would be miserable in bed. And because I had, and I did have that assumption of my mom that she didn't want to get out of bed, that she just wanted to lay there and do nothing. When I had my heart surgery and came home and they told me, you know, you're going to be down for 6 weeks. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be down for 6 weeks. It was bad enough the week I had to stay in the hospital in those godforsaken hospital beds for the entire week and then be on a cold metal table to have surgery and then be on a hospital bed up until the time I was released. It wasn't fucking comfortable. The building was hot. The air conditioning barely fucking worked. I was so ready to go home. And then when I got home, I was probably comfortable in bed for like maybe the first 3 or 4 days. And then afterwards, I was ready to get out. And I kept thinking about my mom. My mom motivated me indirectly, you know, to get me out of bed. I was getting out of bed within 3 weeks. I had moved from the guest bed into my bed and started doing things, started getting up more. And, you know, lo and behold, getting in the shower, doing things myself. And it took time. It did take time. And then within the fourth week, I'm on the frickin' elliptical. I'm getting back into it. And yeah, I probably overdid it. I probably did stuff that caused other issues, you know, with me getting better, but I wanted to push myself. I didn't want to stay in bed. And then, oh, by the way, I didn't do cardio rehab. I did my own cardio rehab. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. My insurance and the companies I was going through, they didn't have enough physical therapists to do cardio rehab. They couldn't book me. They couldn't give me a therapist. So I'm like, look, just give me something to read. Give me something to look at and I'll do my own shit. I had to make that conscious choice, you know, and it's like, so I am proud that you've made so much progress and stopped using the cane and getting out there on your own. I mean, that's excellent. That's awesome. She goes on to say, I'm so sorry about your friends. Cancer does suck. It took the husband of one of my closest friends in 2018. He was one of the kindest people I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. When my mother died in 2015, it occurred to me that my brother is the only person living who has known me all my life. He's a cancer survivor, and so far there are no signs of it returning. But once he goes, I'm the oldest. I will listen to episode 51 soon. There's just so much to do. I have become a how did I find time to work types. Your favorite librarian, Leslie. And as always, all errors courtesy of autocorrect. Leslie, thank you for your email. I was so glad to hear from you. I'm so glad that you're doing well. And how the fuck did you go from being retired to how did I find time to work? A contradiction in terms. I'm retired, but I'm finding time to work because you got time to work, but you didn't want to work. I don't know. How does that go? Anyway, well, I think what we're going to do is I think we're going to go ahead and end the show here. I think it's a good place, right? Yes, no, maybe so. Good talk. That being said, No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. The intro was provided by YouTube from the show Louder Milk, which you can find the 3 seasons that are on there now on Netflix. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic, say that 7 times fast.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. Obviously, that's going to be www.melodyloops.com. Want to send an email? Have comments about today's or other shows? We would love to hear from you. Although we don't hear from anybody but our favorite librarian. And we'll take it because she's awesome. Right? You can email us at nosyntaxpodcast. That's all one word. nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can also follow me on Twitter, aka X, the porn network, just kidding, @NoSyntax Podcast, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Let's see. I think I got stuff printed out. Where's the rest of my show notes? Wow, I'm really fucking the ending up, am I? Yes, I am. Where was I? Oh yeah. For your listening pleasure, you can find us on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Audible, or Amazon Music. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Hope you had fun. I know I did. Hopefully soon we have some coffee to review. Probably going to order some Mando today, and I'll let you know how manly that stuff is and how well it works or it doesn't. And, yeah, we'll go from there. So you all have a great rest of your weekend. Have an awesome week. Stay focused, stay positive, stay caffeinated, and we will talk later. Coffee and contemplation.